שלום, אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי רבש, כרך א', את המאמר מהו ההבדל בין חוק למשפט בעבודה, הוא מופיע בעמוד 720.
We're reading from the Rabash article, what is the difference between law and judgment in the work. The article can be found on kabbalahmedia.info in the library.
כמו כן, ניתן לשלוח שאלות בשידור חי דרך האתרים.
You can ask questions on kab.tv. Anyone who has a question can hold their microphone close and ask loudly and clearly. Rabash, Volume 1, what is the difference between law and judgment in the work? It is known that law means without intellect, meaning above reason. That is, there is no reasonable way to answer why this was done this way or why it should be done this way. In the way and manner that the Torah requires of us. For example, Rav Yehuda said, when Moses went to heaven, he found the Creator sitting and tying crowns to the letters. He said to him, Master of the world, who is holding you back? Rashi interprets that crowns are like tags, markings in a book of Torah. Who is holding you back refers to what you wrote, that you must add tags to them. He told him, in a few generations, there will be a man whose name is Akiva ben Yosef. He will interpret mirrored laws over each and every dot. He said to him, Master of the world, you have such a person, yet you are giving the Torah through me. He replied, Be quiet, such was my thought. He said to him, Master of the world, you showed me his Torah, law, show me his reward. He saw that his flesh was being weighed in a slaughterhouse. Rashi interprets that this is the place where butchers weigh meat, as said in Brachot, that his flesh was combed with iron combs. He said to him, Master of the world, this is the Torah and this is its reward. He replied, Be quiet. Such was my thought. We see Moses above reason in two ways. One, above reason, that the Creator gave Moses. As it's written, Moses will delight with the gift of his lot, the gift of the Torah that will come through him, which is certainly only the salvation of the Lord. A person does not know why he deserves such a great gift, meaning that Moses saw that this was not according to his actions.
But
in his view, the Torah should have been given through Rabbi Akiva and not through him. Two, above reason, in the opposite way. Moses asked, this is the Torah, and this is its reward. It seems to be a punishment. Above reason, he had to say that this was a reward and not a punishment. As Moses thought, this is called the law of above reason, which the mind cannot attain. It follows that when a person takes upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven, the body asks, what will you get out of it? There should be two answers to this. One, lo lishma, not for the Creator's sake. That is, a person should make up for himself some answer that the body will understand with its reason that the goal is worthwhile. This is called lo lishma, and it is called within reason. As we explained, we should discern five manners in lo lishma, and a person should sort out the lo lishma in the state that he is in. So that the body will understand that it's worthwhile to work because of the lo lishma. But now he understands that it's worth his while. In this manner, he will have fuel for the work, and he will always have a place to work. However, a person should also try to begin to work and seek tactics by which to get to lishma for the Creator's sake. Because a person does not know what is lishma.
Its
literal meaning is to work for the Creator's sake. And who does not know what it is to work for the Creator's sake? Still, before a person begins to engage in the work to achieve this for the sake of the Creator, he cannot know what for the sake of the Creator means. Since in the work, what counts is the feeling, not the intellect. For this reason, any person who wants to achieve lishma must take time, part of his work day, meaning his lo lishma, and begin to work on lishma. Then he will understand the meaning of above reason, meaning that the body does not understand why it needs to work for the sake of the Creator. At that time, he also begins to understand what it means that a person must believe above reason. Conversely, in lo lishma, it is not so difficult to believe in the Creator, since the body understands that it is worthwhile to observe Torah and mitzvot, as it is written that there are five manners of lo lishma. And when the body finds something for which it is worthwhile to observe Torah and mitzvot, commandments and good deeds, it is regarded as working within reason, since the body understands within reason what the matter is worthwhile, that he will gain more by being secular, meaning that his body will enjoy more than one who does not observe Torah and mitzvot. For this reason, the lo lishma is called within reason, meaning that the need for it makes sense. But if he takes some of the time he has dedicated to Torah and work on the basis of lo lishma, for example, half an hour a day, and he begins to ponder whether it's worthwhile to work for the sake of the Creator, meaning not for his own benefit. Then the body begins to ask the person Pharaoh's question, who said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" And we should ask, how come before he began to think of working lishma, he was content with the faith of the Creator, and the body did not ask those questions? Whereas now that he is thinking only about walking on the path of bestowal, the body begins to ask such questions. The answer is that we see that when a person works for an employer, it does not matter. That is, even if he never sees the employer, but he's confident about the reward, a person agrees to work. Moreover, even if he is told that he will never see the employer, it will not matter. Rather, what matters is the salary. This determines if the work is worthwhile. But if a person is told that there is an important person here who needs people to work for him, however, he does not pay anything for the work, in this case, he needs to see for whom he needs to work. That is, he wants to know if he is really an important person worth working for without any reward. Meaning that he wants to know if he really is an important person that he wants to work with without any reward. However, if there are people who respect him, and he sees that he will be honored, meaning that people who know the importance and will respect him for his work, because he is serving an important person, he can work even if he himself will never see him and will never be able to see if what they say is true, so that he will grasp his greatness and importance. This is because this honor is not that the important person respects him, but he derives pleasure from people's respect for him because he is serving an important person. It follows that there is enough that he sees the people who respect him, and therefore does not have such a great need to see the employer. Rather, he is content with knowing the people who pay his salary through their respect for him. That is, it is enough for him to see the people who pay his reward, which is called respect. Conversely, if he is in a place where there are no people who respect that important person, meaning that he sees that according to the service that people give him, he sees that they appreciate him as one who is a little bit important, and only a handful of people regard him an important person, but those people are not important in the eyes of those who have little regard for him. In that state, a person faces a dilemma. Should he listen to those people who are not appreciated among the respected people? That is, people of influence in the general public say that the person should be appreciated because of his importance, but only to a degree. Not simply admire him above reason, meaning more than seems reasonable. But a person sees that the influential people are the majority and the most valued. And if he listens to them, meaning serve him according to their appreciation of him, these people will respect him. Or he should slightly obey those who are not influential. Or even worse, that it is a disgrace to openly say that he has connected to these lowly people who say that he is an important person and worth serving devotedly. since the rule is that the majority rule over the individual with their views. When a person begins to work in order to bestow and not accept any return, each time the majority view awakens. Perhaps it is not worthwhile to work and serve him with his heart and soul. For this reason, Pharaoh's question awakens each time, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" It follows that the reason that the who question appears is the what question, which is the wicked's question. It is written about it, a wicked, what does he say? What is this work for you? That is, when a person wants to go against the general public, who say that they settle for working lo lishma, because lishma is for people who can go above reason. And we, the majority of Israel, settle for being able to observe Torah and mitzvot with the aim to benefit ourselves, and doing everything with the aim to benefit the Creator is no business for us. Yet, he does want to work in order to bestow and not receive at all. At that time, the body asks, "Who is the Lord?" That is, are you sure that he is so important that it is worthwhile to work for him? In other words, working for respect, meaning to work in order to be respected, does not apply here because the general public does not appreciate him because he is working in order to bestow. On the contrary, they degrade him and say about him that he is a fool. For this reason, he must establish the importance of the Creator by himself. Here is where man's ascent and descent begin. Those two, the who and what, come together and ask him their questions, and a person cannot always overcome them. It follows that the main reason why a person begins to ask questions and he is seemingly asking because he is ready to do the holy work and has no loneliness in himself, except it is hard for him to go with faith above reason. That is, why he asks the who question. But in truth, the questions arise out of man's lowliness, since he is immersed in self-love and cannot overcome self-love. It is human nature that it is difficult for him to say that he is wrong, that he does not have a view about himself, but that he follows his heart. As our sages said, a wicked is in the hands of his heart, as it is written, and Haman said in his heart. For this reason, it is better for him to say that if he knew the Creator, he would certainly serve the Creator. But since the mind does not understand the whole matter of faith above reason, it argues, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" But in truth, his will to receive claims that it only wants to understand if this is true, and wants to answer to the question, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?"
שצריכים לעבוד לשם השם,
That is, when we say to the body that we need to work for the sake of the Creator and not for our own sake, this is why he says, he asks the who is the Lord question. But when he worked with the intention, lo lishma, he did not need to ask the who is the Lord question, since the work lo lishma is within reason. Hence, the acceptance of faith is also within reason for him. That is, both the mind and the heart are built above reason, and both need the Creator's help in order to be rewarded with mind and heart. It follows that law means that it is above reason, and the intention pertains to faith, and by faith above reason he becomes Israel. Conversely, before he was rewarded with faith above reason, he is regarded only as sacred still, called dust. That is, he still tastes the spirituality that he attains the taste of dust. This is called divinity, Shechina, in the dust. This is so as long as he does not accept above reason. This is, as we said above, that we must ask the Creator to give us the strength to be able to go above reason and not be enslaved to our reason. Conversely, the Torah is called judgment, which is specifically within reason. In other words, he must understand the Torah called the names of the Creator. However, it is impossible to attain the Torah, which is called within reason, before he is rewarded with Israel. As it is written, Rabbi Ami said, one does not deliver words of Torah to idol worshippers. As it was said, he did not do so to any nation, and they do not know the ordinances. From here, we see two things. One, the Torah is called judgment, as it is written, and they do not know the ordinances. Two, it is forbidden to teach judgments, meaning Torah, to idol worshippers. The question is, why is it forbidden to teach an idol worshipper Torah if he wants to learn? It stands to reason that it should be to the contrary. By learning, there will be sanctification of the Creator. That is, even the idol worshipper will acknowledge the importance of the Torah, so why the prohibition?
Should interpret this in the work. It means that idol worshippers in Israel are in the same person. That before one is rewarded with the law called faith above reason, he's still not called Israel, who can attain the Torah as the names of the Creator, regarded as within reason. In the work, there is a rule that Baal HaSulam said that where it is written forbidden, it means impossible. And this is the meaning of the Torah being given specifically to Israel, since Israel is the quality of Yeshael, straight to the Creator, which means that all his actions are for the sake of the Creator. And this is called dvekut, adhesion, or equivalence of form. And when a person is rewarded with this law, then comes the time when he can be rewarded with the judgment called Torah. This is the meaning of the Torah being given only to Israel. It therefore follows that judgment is the first nine Sefirot, which is regarded as the Torah. This is received within reason. This is our sages said, Rabbi Yeshua stood on his feet and said, she is not in heaven. Rabbi Yirmiya said, for the Torah has already been given on Mount Sinai. This we shall understand the side locks, which are like the edges of the field. We must leave a side lock, as the Ari wrote, Malchut of Galgalta is called Pe'ah, side lock. This is known from the words, you shall not reap the sides of your field. Leave them for the poor and for the stranger. Malchut is the last of them, like the edge of the field that remains after the harvest. Likewise, after one shaves the hair of the head, which is like harvesting of the field, one should leave the side lock, which is as malchut of the hair.
It
follows that the pe'ah, the side lock, is forever malchut. Accordingly, we see in the words of the Ari that he likens the reaping of the field to the shaving of the hair of the head. A person must not receive for himself the pe'ah, which implies malchut. Rather, both on the field and on the hair of the head, the pe'ah, the side lock, must be kept, implying malchut. Meaning is that malchut is regarded as faith above reason, when a person has no clue. And this is the intimation that a person has no permission to receive into his reason, but that he must leave this to the Creator. That is, a person's hand does not reach there. And hand means attainment, from the word, if a hand attains. This is called law. Conversely, the Torah, which pertains to the upper nine, is regarded as judgment, which pertains specifically to men. That is, he must attain this within reason. As was said about the Torah, she is not in heaven. This means that the field, except for the side lock, the pe'ah of the field, is called the upper nine, regarded as the Torah, which pertains to men.
But
the pe'ah of the field and the pe'ah of the head imply malchut, and pertain only to the Creator. Meaning above human reason. And this is called entirely for the Creator. A man's hand does not attain there at all. The Torah is the opposite. It pertains specifically to people to accept it within reason. This is the difference between Torah and mitzvah, or commandment. Concerning the mitzvah, the commandment, we were not given the reasons for the commandment. Rather, we accept them without any rhyme or reason, but it's a constitution.
But
the Torah, our sages said, is named after men. That is, the Torah pertains to men. And the question is that once it is written, he desires the Torah of the Lord, and another time it is written, he will contemplate his Torah day and night. And they interpret, first it's called the Torah of the Lord. And once he has learned it, and has internalized it. It is called his Torah. This is why Rabbah said the Torah is not his, for it is written, and he will contemplate his Torah day and night. We see that the Torah is named a man, is named after man. That is, it must come within reason. And this is called judgment, the opposite of law, which is faith. However, this work of faith, which is regarded as tzedakah, righteousness or charity, and not Torah, should be with joy, as it is written, serve the Lord with joy. In other words, a person taking upon himself the kingdom of heaven should be with joy, and he must not look at the nature of humans, that it is hard for him to go against the intellect, and that instead he wants to understand and to know what he wants. And since a person cannot immediately assume this work of acceptance of faith above reason, so it will give him joy, we must begin this work coercively, even though the body disagrees. This is regarded as a person having to take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven, as an ox to the burden, as a donkey to the load. However, one must know that he must achieve the degree of joy upon assumption of the kingdom of heaven. It is as we say after reading Shema Israel, hear, O Israel, and you will love the Lord. This means that although a person begins coercively, he must come to a state of joy, and then he will not feel like an ox to the burden. Which always wants to throw away the burden because it cannot stand it. Conversely, when he is glad about it, it cannot be said that he regards it as a burden. And now we can interpret the meaning of the red cow on which no burden has been placed. Since a red cow is called a law, which is malchut, it is written on which no burden has been placed. A burden means that he is still not in gladness and still cannot observe, and you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul.
It's unclear what Malchut is. Once he says that Malchut is above reason. Then he writes that Torah is judgment and that it's within reason. I'm sorry, I don't even know exactly how to ask this, but I have some confusion.
Don't ask, it's too early. Too early to ask. Why should you be confused with something you're not in still? You have a double confusion. It's best like that. At least you know what you don't know.
If it's prohibited teaching Torah to the nations of the world, then how do they correct themselves?
They join slowly, Are you asking in the nations of the world in general or those in the person?
In a person.
So we correct them gradually through external things. We bring them closer until they say that they're interested in coming closer to the Torah. But certainly not by coercion. But it did something, the article.
He writes, you need to receive Torah within reason and mitzvot above reason. How can that be that Torah is in the will to receive? How can you receive Torah?
That we agree to learn to approach the Torah within reason.
It's against the law. Within reason is within the will to receive. Torah is the light, the abundance. And he says that mitzvot commandment is above reason. We interpret that as mitzvot commandments as acts of connection. Somehow that's clear that it's above reason. In reason, it's unclear why we need to connect. But once you've done it above reason, the mitzvot, as a result of that, you receive Torah within reason. That's unclear.
You're already with your corrected vessels. You begin to receive some of the upper light that previously was not able to shine in them.
We said Torah is received in a new clear vessel of bestowal.
This is called new vessels.
That's called new reason. That's why it's called within reason. There's reason within the will to receive and
above the will to receive. The reason of Torah and the reason of landlords.
We could really identify in the article with all of the questions of who and what, how a person can transition every moment these scrutinies. And at the end, he finishes the article and he writes that even though a person starts with forcefully, he needs to reach a state of joy. And then he won't feel as a burden to the ox. However, when he's in joy, there's no need to consider it as a burden. And it's a solution. If we reach joy, it's like it pulls us and accelerates our work. And I'm asking how to reach such joy.
This is the upper light that expands. And it comes and shines to us. It invites, invokes joy.
We don't need to make an effort to create joy.
We make efforts on our degree and our level, but in truth, all the rest the light does.
In the 10, we saw that if we succeed in creating joy, even among a few friends, it immediately attracts more friends to join this. There is strength in it. So my question is, do we need to generate such joy? And what is that joy?
This is not the degree that he's speaking of right now, right here. Not yet.
USA Northwest.
Thank you, Rav. I hope you excuse the length of this. It was a scrutiny that I had earlier today.
So there
are times on the path when one feels a very strong deficiency,
mm-hmm.
almost unnatural, And then the instinct is to try to fill that lack with something corporeal for self. But we choose to work with that deficiency in the way in which the Creator intended, in the awareness that it's from Him. So how do we raise such a strong deficiency that it will activate the Creator? Especially when we feel like it's the birth of a new desire to bestow for the sake of the collective that's building up inside of us.
As much as we can unify our deficiencies into one deficiency and we aim it precisely at that single goal, by that we activate the Creator.
בסדר. Kiev 1.
Рав, вот что значит не, чтобы рука человека не касалась Малхут в работе Вышезнания? Там
What does it mean that a person's hand will not touch Malchut in faith above reason? That you need to keep the portion of the field? What does that mean?
It means that we follow the restrictions the light brings us and we don't go above them. It means the side lock of the field, the side lock of the head.
Это значит, то есть, предположим, я соединяюсь с товарищами, поднимаюсь.
Let's say that I connect with the friends.
В работе в знании, скажем. Что значит, что я не возвращаюсь?
I rise above working in reason. What does it mean that I don't go back to reason, that I don't touch it?
Лихьот, лифоль, ларгиш, ладун, рак ве ма шата немца.
You continue to work, to discuss, to live in only that place where you are above reason.
בוקר טוב רב, תודה. איך לקבל כל המציאות?
Good morning, Rav. Thank you. How to receive all of reality in faith above reason through the study, the group.
כמו שאנחנו משתדלים לעשות.
Just like we are trying to do. With each day, we are reading articles that are pulling us more and more into faith above reason. And we need to work on this level.
Rav, does that depend on our efforts or is that according to time?
No. Whatever is according to time is according to time. But according to effort is each time according to the efforts we're putting in. Each time according to the efforts.
טוב.
Thank you.
יש לנו זיכרונטו.
הוא רושם בערך באמצע של המאמר.
He writes somewhere in the middle of the article that before one was rewarded with faith above reason, he is considered still in holiness and he is considered as a level of dusk. That what he attains in spirituality is considered dust, which is divinity in dust. And as long as a person does not receive above reason, that's the state. So the question is, from what I understand, as long as a person feels the taste of dust, then it means that he's not above reason?
Rav
says, yes, of course, student. And if he does receive flavor in the work, that is, that he is above reason?
He's not making mistakes, then yes.
So how does he know to identify if the flavor that he tastes is in the will to receive or in the will to bestow?
From the calculations he makes. When the Creator agrees with his calculation.
Is this something that can be understood? How can this be understood? this the scrutiny that's constantly done?
That's his feeling, yes.
Turki tu.
Irav. Değerli Rav, kişi çalışmada bu negatif düşüncelerin üzerine nasıl çıkabilir?
How can a person rise above the negative thoughts during the study?
First of all, understand that this is what the upper system is sending him, even the Creator.
And
that it's in order for him to cleanse himself of all the disturbances by coming closer more and more to the actions that he's told to do. But confusion, such calculations, various other disturbances, that's always there. And specifically now, when we're starting to learn practically about what it means to be in Lolishma and Lishma, and how to come closer to Lolishma, this will awaken in us more and more. And here a person needs to be extremely tenacious. Not disconnect from what he learned, what he's being taught now and explained now, and what the society is saying. These are the conditions for transition between the two worlds, between Lolishma and Lishma.
Woman Petish Loshimvishmone.
It says
you need to take part of his day and work in Lishma. Do we need to set times within the 10 together that we try and work for Lishma and to increase it more and more every time?
For the time being, we have to do it all the time. Whenever each of us is capable of doing it.
German 8.
Доброе утро. Большое спасибо, Раф. У меня два вопроса, если позволите. Первый вопрос: должны ли мы увидеть нашего работодателя или нам нельзя?
Two questions. First one: do we need to see who is activating us?
Что такое правильная радость? Чему нам нужно радоваться?
Raf says no. Next question, what is true happiness? What do we need to be joyful of?
To rejoice. Because we know who are we working for, what are we approaching, and that we're all each time getting closer to the purpose of creation.
Rav, working forcefully, is that the difference between within reason and above reason?
Yes.
Zeu.
That's it. We have Kiev 1.
Да, дорогой Рав, извините. Вот тут написано, что тот, кто хочет...
It says here that the fact that he wants to reach Lishma, he needs to dedicate part of his day working Lolishma and start working Lishma. What does this mean in the period of Lolishma, working for Lishma, for the Creator's sake?
We might talk about it in the next lesson. I don't think we can get into it right now.
שמעתי שאדם צריך להיות מאוד עקשן.
I heard a person needs to be very stubborn.
במה?
Yes.
In what?
In what? In wanting to be in such a state where they let him understand, see, feel, enter faith above reason.
שמפילים אותו, מבלבלים אותו.
you, a person is being dropped, is being getting confused. They do a lot of things to him, but nevertheless he comes back again and again and he wants to enter into it. Because the transition is such that a person doesn't know from one end where is he ending up at, on the other end.
בסדר.
אוקיי.
כן.
מבלרוס שואלים, כיצד נוכל לרצות לעבוד?
Question from Belarus. How can we start working without the ego for the Creator's sake if our nature is always against that desire?
We are doing this transition with the help of the reforming light.
הוא ממשיך ושואל, מהי אז ההרגשה?
He continues and asks, what is that feeling that needs to be in the spiritual work?
We can't speak of a feeling. Whoever feels, feels. And whatever he feels, he feels.
From
Hebrew 1, they're asking how to transition from work in order to receive reward to work in bestowal. How to demand to be bestowing and not settle for honor.
זה הכל תלוי מהכלים.
This all depends on the vessels that are revealed.
אנחנו צריכים
and we need to understand the essence of these vessels, what we've had and what we wish to have.
מ-Woman PT6 הם שואלות איך קורה באדם המעבר.
Women PT6 are asking how does the transition between the burden to the ox, how does it transition to working in joy?
And this is the soul devotion. It says the greatness of the host, of the landlord. Do you attain it? We attain it.
חבר ביקש שנשאל.
Friend asked.
They
asked the following question: what is our burden and what holds us that we won't be able to escape?
The Creator is keeping us in such a way that we cannot escape. And our burden is that we cannot come out from under the rule of this special force that is keeping us here. It's a certain illumination from above that doesn't let us run away.
Turkish 6 woman.
Selam Rav, selam dostlar. Musa Torah'nın kendisi aracılığıyla değil ama Rabbi Akiva aracılığıyla verilmiş olmasının daha uygun
olacak. Moses says to the Creator that it would be better if the Torah would have been given by Rabbi Akiva and not by himself. What quality did Moses see in Rabbi Akiva that for that reason he said he's more suitable?
I think devotion. Although Moses is called a loyal servant, but Rabbi Akiva, with all of his specific fate, he came to a state where, who am I who can say anything about them? But it turns out that this is how each one feels the other.
I wanted to
ask about above reason.
כאילו יוצא מהמאמר שהעבודה מתחילה.
It turns out that the work starts only while a person begins to accept above reason.
Yes.
And until that moment, there's no Torah, there's nothing.
There's the efforts of a person who wants to enter it.
So where does a person bring faith above reason from?
It's an illumination from above. Whoever comes to it, comes to it. Whoever doesn't. It's not inside a person. Inside a person, there are certain preparations for it. But perhaps his heart wishes to reach it, but not more than that.
What is considered Torah?
Torah typically is the light that fills all of reality.
Why is it attained in reason, as he writes?
After a person establishes adequate vessels, then accordingly the light flows in these vessels, fills them, and then a person feels them. He feels those lights.
And
he writes that Torah is attained within reason, and he can't attain Torah until he doesn't reach Yashar Kel. That isn't achieved until reaching faith above reason.
Yes.
So how do you even enter the work? How do you enter above reason?
We have connection with the surrounding lights. We can draw them near, we can bring them closer using our vessels. And that's how we move closer. Here, we need to say that it's more important for a person to try to be present. Try to be present. As it's written, anything but leave. That is the main thing. As much as he can make the efforts to remain on the path, although he's not advancing on the path, maybe he is, but rather he is holding himself from falling off the path, from getting off it. That's in his hands, and he has to hold on to that all the time.
In what is a person present? What does it mean to be present?
That's why it says either connection or death. He must build an environment for himself, and through the environment or with its help, to keep himself on the path. And later,
Hashem Gadol,
the Creator is great. You know.
So
how to work with this? It turns out, and what we hear, we get from the article, is that the article gives you a direction that's opposite than everything you know until this day.
Why?
Because until today, you worked within reason, there, the light that influences, and at the end, you're rewarded with faith. Now it's all the opposite. You need, first of all, to be rewarded with faith above reason. If the Creator wants, then He'll give that to you. And then you start entering the true work, which is working in Torah above reason.
And how was it before?
It was the opposite.
What do you mean the opposite?
First of all, you worked because you wanted the light to influence you. You engage in the Torah in order to reach a state that you are above reason. Above reason is where we wanted to reach. That's the lishma. That's what we want to reach. And it all starts from here now.
We are constantly trying to come close to the Creator, to the Torah, the group by which we attain the Creator and the Torah. This is what we have ahead of us.
Front
of us.
Clear. So, last question. How do you make sure that you don't deviate from the path?
Only through study in the correct environment.
The questions we uncover during the study, the answers we get in the study. What else do we have in our prayers, of course? When we raise our mind to the Creator and we expect Him to answer us. And this work, we feel as if our path is throwing us out, dropping us down and raises us again and again. It's dropping us down and again it lifts us up. That's the path. We have to get used to it and accept it this way. There is no righteous person in the land that did good before sinning first. And that's what we do each time. I would see it on Rabash and a few other people of attainment. Down to the last moment, they were going through such states. Down to the last moment, although they were in attainment and in Lishman, in contact with the upper force, and nevertheless, they had ascents and descents that continue.
Rav, yesterday
we heard your talk where you said a very sharp sentence. You said, after a person leaves, all that remains is the work he did in the ten, the connection he built in the ten.
Yes.
Well, I was so harsh. Where can we perform spiritual work?
So exactly, that's what I want to ask about. We also learn that everything that remains at the end of the process is all of the work that we do above reason to reach bestowal.
Either connection or death, or society or death.
Can you help me connect these two things for some reason?
Because this group, this work has to be in a ten. And the direction the ten is working in is to reach such connection that they fulfill all the deficiencies the Creator is revealing to them.
But working in the ten of the connection with the friends, in many cases it seems like kind of corporeal work within reason. We work, we try to connect, to support the friends, to pray for them.
Try to find spiritual discernments in it.
What does that mean?
We're getting together to do work of connection. If a friend needs help, we pray for him. How is that connected to faith above reason? I don't see the connection here to above reason. It seems very much in reason.
No, your attitude to the friend is not above reason?
Make
that connection. In my mind, it doesn't connect.
I have to love him. I have to reach adhesion with him. Not only with this friend, with all the friends. Without it, I won't know how to connect to the Creator. I don't have a vessel the Creator can fill, can correct. So it turns out that without the connection between us, we are unable to do anything.
So
all the efforts we do for a connection, these daily things we do,
those are not daily actions, those are spiritual actions. If not for spirituality, I would never connect to those actions. Or to those people, I'm sorry.
Okay, thanks. Continue this line, and we're in the same tent for the last 4 years. Naturally, someone you're with frequently, maybe not with all the friends in the tent, but there are some friends that you can be their friend kind of naturally. Is that a problem?
It's possible that yes.
והשלישייה מקושרים בגלל
שבונים We are building a spiritual system where the upper light can appear, the Creator. Not because it has to do with what we each had before, a society, a group.
Yeah,
actually, men, they like toys and games. They're attracted to it. Suddenly, there can be a common ground, which is slightly on the side.
It's easy, more difficult for men. It's easier for women because they have the system where they have to give birth and develop a new generation and take care of it. So their inner mechanism is closer to the system of creation.
That's the point. I want to reach a point that will have this point in the 10 that won't let us fall into.
And that's why it was said to Abraham from the Creator, listen to what Sarah is telling you. If you listen to what your wife tells you, your wife specifically, not some other woman or any other woman, your wife, if you listen to her by that, you will be able to come closer to the right action.
So what do we want to give birth in the 10? A woman wants to give birth, so
that's her main role.
So what do we want to give birth to in the 10? That will also give us this sharpness.
A soul. We wish to connect under such conditions whereby the soul, the Creator, will clothe in us. The clothing of the upper light, the Creator in a person, is called the soul. That's what you want to happen.
He says in the article about the burden to the ox, and what the ox wants to do is remove the burden. He doesn't have the joy. When in the 10 can we transition from the state of wanting, of doing everything forcefully, to transition to a state that it's done from joy? When we start respecting
the coercion and we don't want to get rid of it, then we stop feeling it as coercion.
And we need to talk about it between us, or it's inner discernment of each and every one.
You can talk about it. It's okay. I'm willing to remain in this work all the time, and I understand that it's pressuring me, it's restricting me on the one hand. On the other hand, I understand that without this restriction, without this pressure, I won't be able to grow up and relate myself to the upper system, to the Creator, and to be this way, as an ox to the burden and a donkey to the load, where I feel myself in agreement with and ready for this work.
Ken, no Baruch.
Toda Rava. Ishti Shila, Unoten Poitza, Kocha, Nirali.
I have a question about the advice he gives here. That's why every person who wants to reach Lishma for the Creator's sake, he needs to take time, part of his workday, in other words, of his Lo Lishma, and begin to work in Lishma.
Yes.
Please help understand this correctly. What is he writing about here?
Repeat it.
Again, therefore, every person that wants to reach Lishma for the Creator's sake, He needs to take time, part of his workday, meaning of his lo lishma, not for the Creator's sake, and to start working lishma, for the Creator's sake.
Yes.
So how to treat this advice?
The way you understand it, as much as you understand it, that's what you should do.
All the work is in the ten. If I don't understand it correctly, what's written here, how to relate to this advice, how can I do it in the ten?
The
person says 10 hours in Lolishma or 24 hours, how can he take half an hour and decide that this will be for the Creator's sake? I don't understand what's written here. That's the question.
So, with this question, start learning what we've learned, go over the material and listen to what it's talking about.
And he continues that if he takes some of his time that he dedicated for Torah in working in not for the Creator's sake, for example, he takes half an hour a day and he begins.
רק על זה? מה הביצוע הנכונה להיצע?
תחשוב.
אוקיי, תודה. והוא צריך לקבוע בעצמו את חשיבות הבורא. איך אדם יכול, אחרי כל הבירות.
And he needs to determine. After he gives an answer, that's why a person needs to determine the importance of the Creator. How can a person do it himself?
He needs to think about it. Think about it.
Ken.
Rav, how to combine working in the work of the heart to everything needed to be in the ten? How to avoid it being some kind of imagination or something.
Try and bring friends closer into the heart. Feel that they are inside your heart. And more and more and more to think about them until you truly feel them. As parts of your own heart.
So how much can we use this imagination or see that it will be realized or what?
Don't worry about it. Use it in order to bring the friends into your heart. Use that. Use it and it'll be all right.
Thank you.
המאמר הזה נותן הרגשה של צער על מה שאין לנו. השאלה מה נכון לעשות.
This article gives us a feeling of sorrow for what we lack, what to do. Rav, when we don't know what to do, we pray. We collect everyone, we assemble them, we connect them, and we raise a prayer, a request to the Creator. Do it. And then tell us what you've attained.
Ken.
Rav, how can we prepare for these questions that when they come, the questions of who and what, the questions that a person doesn't have an answer to?
According to those questions that awaken in us, we can tell what state we're in. So it's good for us that they awaken. Without them, we
wouldn't
know who are we and how to aim ourselves.
No.
These questions can confuse you, Rav. No. No, these questions typically bring you to decisions, deficiencies,
something you get to scrutinize.
And it's written in the article that Moshe asks and he says, silent, go in the thoughts. What does that mean?
There are things that you have to accept that you take them in a way that the Creator created this, and He understands from to the end of the path that these things are necessary and man should accept them and by that advance specifically through them. It's like trying to explain to a child what we're demanding of him that he might reveal and know about it only 15, 20 years from now. Yes.
Just to continue the question, if he told him, be quiet, Moses, so why is he continuing to ask? What should we learn from this?
You can keep asking, but there's also an answer in that still, that if man just remains silent and keeps going in his work, so he already starts getting answers from the next degree.
I didn't understand. He told him, be quiet, but he continued. He's supposed to listen to the reason of the upper. It sounds like he's not listening to him.
We'll scrutinize it.
Continuing the questions that were asked here, we use our corporeality in order to awaken the spiritual connection. For example, it happens that a friend has a certain distress, so we can help him. Let's say we help him with food, etc. How do these actions, how as a 10, what is the intention that should be there so that these corporeal actions, this corporeal help, will correctly awaken the spiritual connection?
We need to do it in such an intention that the friend or whoever accepts it will understand that our purpose is to connect together and through the connection to reach that final solution.
I took an extreme example, but even if I bring a pencil to a friend at the table, that's the help that we use seemingly in a corporeal manner.
So
when I do this action, do I need the friend to also be in the same opinion that it's for the sake of connection and he also wants it that way?
Yeah.
Tov. No.
Yeah.
Torah ze mishpatim. Ani lo mevin bidyuk ma.
Torah are like sentences or judgments. I don't understand exactly what these sentences are.
Yes, mishpat ze.
There's.
Nyan shel safa.
The law. Or a sentence that is a sentence which is part of a text from one point to the next, a language. That's a sentence. And there's a sentence that is law and judgment. How should I say this in Hebrew, Owen? Commandments.
Din, beseder.
Judgment.
Din.
No.
So what's the difference between Torah and mitzvot? The mishpatim, the sentences that are sentences like in sentence, like in and commandments.
Torah, again, it depends on what way we're speaking here. Torah are laws the general law of all of reality, that we don't even know what it is. It's all the worlds, it's all of our universe, everything all together is the Torah. That system is called the Torah. What the upper light, or the Creator, with His bestowal, conducts everything.
I
heard that above reason are the laws, the rules, and Torah are the judgments, the sentences in the article. What's the difference between the judgments, dinim, and above reason? In the state of lo lishma, we work in coercion.
Yeah.
And I heard that if we receive coercion, then at last it will be such that we won't feel it as coercion.
I
heard you, your answer that we wouldn't feel the light.
The burden.
אנחנו לא נקבל כקפיה. אם אנחנו,
we are talking in the manner of coercion.
The coercion, we won't feel it as coercion.
When we get it as coercion, maybe we won't feel it as a burden.
As
yeah.
הקפיה, okay. הדינים מלמעלה,
so the judgments from above will finally be as chesed, as mercy.
Yeah, that's right. With our response, we can correct them and we'll feel them as mercy and not as judgment.
טוב,
what should we do next?
The general preface. We'll move to the next part of the lesson, but we'll sing a song first.
מתחברים אל המקור בפרו ואקוודור זורם נהר של אהבה בין אילת לערבה ברור שאין עוד מלבדו בליסבון ובבורדו ושהוא טוב וגם היטיב בניו יורק ותל אביב
Around the world a ray of light is calling people to unite Igniting all the points inside Endless love will be our guide Above the place and beyond time A new humanity will shine Above the place and beyond time A new humanity will shine
Kazakhstan, Sibir, Krim Дышит воздухом одним, устремление едино от Москвы до Сахалина, от Чикаго до Читы, от Литвы до Алматы, от Сиднея до Берлина, от Парижа до Пекина.
Around the world a ray of light is calling people to unite. Igniting all the points inside Endless love will be our guide Above the place and beyond time A new humanity will shine Above the place and beyond time A new humanity will shine
Mire lo que sucedió en Japón y Kazajstán. Se abren los cielos también en Moscú.
cui Jerusalén, más ciudades y naciones, más hermanos y uniones, grandes olas de amor, solo un clic, un corazón. Around the world, a ray of light is calling people to unite, igniting all the points inside. Endless love will be our guide, above the place and beyond time. A new humanity will shine.